Tristan Schuler, and I'm here with my team here with the Multi-Genre Analysis Night by Elie Wiesel podcast that goes with the book here. Lovely book. And let's introduce the crew members here if you'd all like to say your names.
Hi, I'm Maddie Hess.
I'm Olivia Goodrow.
I'm Sydney Kaufman.
And we're here to present you the analysis. Good day and bless. You're listening to the Multi-Genre Analysis of Night by Elie Wiesel. Listen along podcast. Before we go any further, I feel as if I should warn you that this material can get a bit unsettling to some viewers, and everything you're about to hear is based off real events and our real statistics and estimates. Everything you're about to hear is... Children should only listen to this with a trusted adult to make sure a better understanding is held. Today we have one poem, a couple of shorts, a media piece, and a museum step from the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum, all available in the book in front of you. Join us, myself, Tristan Schuler, with the poem I analyzed, Madison Hess with her nonfiction, Olivia Goodrow's fiction piece, Sydney Kaufman's media piece, and we'll be finishing off with Olivia's analysis of Propaganda Museum Stop. So sit back, grab a warm cup of drink, and prepare yourself as we take you through one of the darkest moments in history to enhance your understanding of the Holocaust. Holocaust by Barbara Sonneck. We played, we laughed, we were loved. We were ripped from the arms of our parents and thrown into the fire. We were nothing more than children. We had a future. We were going to be lawyers, rabbis, wives, teachers, mothers. We had dreams. Then we had no hope. We were taken away in the dead of night like cattle and cars. No air to breathe. Smothering, crying, starving, dying. Separated from the world to be no more. From the ashes, hear our plea. This atrocity to mankind cannot happen again. Remember us, for we were the children whose dreams and lives were stolen away. You just heard Holocaust by Barbara Sonneck. The poem is a very powerful piece, if you might have heard. But in that power and the despair, there is an underlying meaning with it that is also presented in Elie Wiesel's book, and that is the message of prevailing, having hope. The second someone loses hope in Elie Wiesel's book, they typically die. The only exception being Elie Wiesel himself, who lost hope only in the last parts of it, but managed to luck out. But besides that, everybody else he knew, when they gave up, they just perished. But because he held on for so long, and so did his father for so long until he gave up, they lasted to where they did. His father gave up and unfortunately was not able to make it. And as in the poem, they lost those hopes and dreams. They had no fuel to go on. It was stripped of them. Their humanity taken. What would be the point if there is no humanity?
So that was a wonderful poetry analysis by Tristan Schuler. And next we're going to go to Maddie Hess for her nonfiction short of Rena's Promise by Rena Cornish Gillison on page 43.
All right, so at page 43, we can find all my annotations, and then on page 49 is my charts, and we'll just get right into the charts to make it easier. Okay, so my first evaluation in Juxtapose is about the similarity of the two memoirs having the people being ordered to march by the Nazi soldiers. And the similarity is the narration and the plotline of it, but how do you say his name?
Elie Wiesel.
Wiesel's choice in his memoir, he goes more in depth talking about the conditions that they had to walk in. Like, March, it snowed on and on. An icy wind was blowing violently, but we marched without faltering. And that was on page 85. Whereas in the other novel, or the other memoir, Gelson, she did more of a overall description. March out, we tramped through the snow, out of the gates of hell to work. And that can be found on page 133. And what do I want to say about that?
So that was a very thoughtful, short response by Maddie Hess. Next, we'll be moving on to my personal fiction short response. I analyzed All the Light We Cannot See by Anthony DeWare and juxtaposed it to Night by Elie Wiesel on page 53. So to just give you an idea of what All the Light We Cannot See, the tone of it and everything, I'll just read a little excerpt from my small little short here. This is page 10 of the book. Some hurry to bomb shelters. Some tell themselves it is merely a drill. Some linger to grab a blanket or a prayer book or a deck of play cards. D-Day was 2 months ago. Cherbourg has been liberated. Caen liberated. Rennes too. Half of Western France is free. In the east, the Soviets have retaken Minsk. The Polish Home Army is revolting in Warsaw. A few newspapers have become bold enough to suggest that the tide has turned, but not here. So that was on our course packs, page 53. And if we turn to page 55, we'll see my juxtapositions with Night. So the first quote scene that I noticed, it's not necessarily a scene, it's just a part of the novel, is the narration choice throughout each book. The similarity between Wiesel and DeWare is that they're talking of events and surrounding moods during World War II and dangerous activity from the camps and the front lines. In Wiesel's novel, it's his personal account, and it's a first-person narrator. He gives a summary of his life during World War II. It's very personal because the events actually happened to him. It's an autobiography, and he gives very clear and distinct pictures of some very disturbing things that happened in those concentration camps. And in DeWare's novel, it's an all-knowing, omniscient narrator, which gives more of a synopsis. It still taps into emotions by looking at specific people. For example, it talks of 80 Frenchmen, nuns of every order, and a grandmother in my short. But we believe that Elie Wiesel made the choice to tell his story from a first-person narration, not only because it was his personal story, but also because using I and me, those words, create a very personal connection with a reader that can't be mimicked by saying he or she or they. Knowing that Night is a true story makes the connection and consequential emotions even stronger, because it feels like Wiesel is speaking directly to you when you're reading it. Comparing Night and All the Light We Cannot See, it seems that Wiesel also had the responsibility to tell his story from the first person, because not everyone has the experience to do so. DeWare wrote this as a fiction piece. He did not experience the Holocaust firsthand. Next, we're going to have a media response by Sydney Kaufman. She read an op-ed called Remember the Holocaust So Its Horrors Aren't Repeated by Ellen R. Wald on page 75 of our course pack.
My op-ed is Remember the Holocaust So Its Horrors Aren't Repeated by Ellen R. Wald. This article is a modern-day reminder about the traumatic events that occurred in Europe during World War II. Recent killings that target minorities have been popping up all over the map, bringing up an important reminder of the events of the Holocaust. The Holocaust was a planned, detailed, and organized slaughter in which Nazi Germany used sophisticated technology to murder over 11 million people. The horrific events brought pain to the world, and as Ellen R. Wald said, from this history, we learn that we cannot complacently believe that humanity becomes better and more enlightened. We must always strive to improve. The fight against bigotry, hate, and persecution is constant, and we must learn and remember what was done in the past so that we never repeat it. Having read Night by Elie Wiesel, a reader's understanding of the op-ed is enhanced. One aspect is the similar themes found in both writings, Never Forget. In the op-ed, an award speech in Night, they mention recent mass killings and torture that need attention in order to help the oppressed. Another aspect is the journey to Auschwitz in the cattle car. In Night, the crammed car had no food or water that often led to hallucinations as the lifeless bodies cried out for help. Then, the arrival to Auschwitz was a reality check, where they saw the fire form billows of smoke, spreading the scent of burning flesh. The final aspect is the message to the readers at the end of the writings. The world cannot just ignore what happened before them, but if they want to succeed, they need to learn from the mistakes of the past. Ultimately, Night enhanced the op-ed as it gave the reader knowledge and detail of the events of the Holocaust.
Next, let's take a look at the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum exhibit. The propaganda exhibit that we will be looking at starts on page 109. My response starts on page 123. So we visited the online United States Holocaust Memorial Museum, and I chose to spend time with the propaganda exhibit. It explains what propaganda is, which is biased information designed to shape public opinion and behavior, and how the Nazis used it to gain power in Germany. Talks about the psychology behind propaganda and why people rally behind it. This exhibit also takes you through the themes of propaganda and even some artifacts from Nazi Germany. Talks about how the Nazis promoted Hitler to be a great leader, a military leader, a father figure, and a messianic leader. I don't know how to say that. Relating this exhibit to Night by Elie Wiesel, a reader benefits from this knowledge because it helps them better understand why people did what they did to the Jews and how they justified it, which sounds terrible, but that they justified murdering all these people based on the Nazi propaganda that was out there. The Nazis taught adults and children that they'd be punished if they didn't listen to German news, follow German rules, or listen to German government. So they really thrived off the sense of nationalism and devotion that they created to manipulate and deceive the Germans into believing that what the Nazis were doing in the ghettos and the concentration camps was acceptable and in the best interest of the German people. I think this exhibit is a really important one to take time with and comprehend because it gives a more holistic understanding of Nazi Germany and the systematic murder of 6 million Jewish people in the Holocaust. It's very insightful when we look at Night by Elie Wiesel because it helps our reader understand the different layers in the novel. For example, in the beginning of the novel, Moshe the Beatle was deported from Singet and taken to be murdered. With a better understanding of the propaganda that was being circulated, a reader better understands why the Hungarians wanted them dead. It was just a mass conception that the Jewish people were somehow less than the rest of them. That was promoted by the governments in the newspapers, radio stations, posters, even board games, and more.
Walking away from this, it is our collective hope that you not only have a better understanding of Night, but you have an understanding in the events surrounding it. May it be the false ideologies of the time, or more in-depth knowledge of what occurred. To the very emotions held, you leave knowing at least one thing you didn't know before. So no more have to suffer this fate, and for hope to prevail into the future generations. May the rest of your day not be heavily haunted by the information revealed here today. This has been the Multi-Genre Analysis of Night by Ellie Wiesel. We would like to thank everyone who helped us create this podcast, your hosts, Tristan Schuler, Olivia Goodrow, Sydney Kaufman, and Maddie Hess, and Mrs. Stabler, who offered guidance and materials such as the lovely recording booth we're in now. This podcast is made possible by a Touchstone Energy Classroom grant from Great Lakes Energy.